Hey parents, this is a little ears warning. Jesus is the most radical redeemer and restorer, but this podcast may contain some topics which are not appropriate for little ears. So if there are little ears around, you might want to pop in some headphones or hit the pause button right now and pick it up at another time. Jesus be glorified through these testimonies. Welcome everybody to Win Our World podcast series. And over the next 4 weeks as a global church, we're going to be looking at what it is to move from the manifest presence of God into the miraculous and win our world for Jesus. And we're going to have a variety of people join us as guests on this podcast from our church community. We're going to hear about how they met Jesus, and then we're going to hear about how they, in their very real, normal, ordinary, and often very full lives, are winning their world for Jesus. Guys, it is our prayer that you and me would be encouraged, a little bit provoked, and equipped to share Jesus and to win our world for Him. All right, guys, let's jump right in. Well, today in the studio, I have joining me a very special friend. We only met just recently, not too long ago, but I had heard about you through a mutual friend that we had, Raquel. Like I'd heard about you, and then I started hearing some of your testimony, and I was like, oh my gosh, either this person has the exact same testimony as this friend of Raquel's, or it's the same person. And it was the same person. I have Victoria Sinis. Welcome.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
This is fun. I've been looking forward to this.
Yeah. No, it's such a delight to be here. Yeah. Thank you.
You have such a powerful testimony, and I know that today, just even through you sharing some of your testimony, that people are going to be, I think, really encouraged. But also you have a breaker anointing on your life.
Come on.
I know. Get ready. If you're watching, get ready. I feel like even just talking to you, things are like, yeah, you just bring freedom, like wherever you are, just by even sharing just what God has done to you.
Oh man, he's so good. Truly. Yeah. Thank you.
So this whole podcast, the whole idea is just really to share testimony. Yeah. The word testimony, it means like do it again with the same authority and power. So like when we actually share our testimony, it is just the Lord, like us saying to the Lord, do it again in the same authority, in the same power. So even our testimonies, both of us didn't grow up in like Christian homes or anything like that. But it's like, God, you can redeem and restore anything and anyone and do it again in the same authority and power.
Yeah. Yeah, literally.
So maybe you can just start by sharing a little bit about how you met Jesus.
Yes. So the story basically starts back in 2022. And I was working at one of my best friend's businesses. I was helping her start up. My background is actually in startups and marketing and all of
You're
that.
You're such an entrepreneur.
And, oh, thanks. Look, we'll see.
Here you are.
Right now, there's no businesses. No. But no, so basically, I was helping her. It was in hospitality. We were working crazy hours. I was doing like 100-hour work weeks. So I ended up going to Europe for a month.
Yep, as you do.
Yep, because that's the right thing. Go to Mykonos, obviously. Duh. But yeah, so when I was over in Europe, one of my really, really close personal friends had actually started up an OnlyFans agency.
Yep.
And so they had started this agency up because very close personal people in their world were already in the OnlyFans world. Wow. And they were complaining about their agencies.
Okay.
And so they were like, okay, cool. With our educational backgrounds, with the fact that we already have some people that have some clout in this world, we think that we would be able to start a really strong agency here in Australia. Wow. And would be able to basically do really well.
Yeah. So can I pause for a second? Because some people may not know what OnlyFans is. So can you just give a brief explanation about what it is?
Absolutely. So I like to go back. So basically OnlyFans actually started in 2016.
Okay.
And so the original platform was intended to be a decentralized way in which you can kind of cultivate your own micro communities.
Okay.
So just say, I like to put it as this. If you love to cook and you wanted to share cooking, you could be like, cool, come to Victoria's page. You have to pay to be able to see how I cook, but I'll teach you how to cook one-on-one.
Okay.
We can have conversations about things and I can help support you in that way.
I know that.
Yeah. And so that's what OnlyFans is. But there's this thing called Not Safe for Work. And so Not Safe for Work is actually the online terminology for pornography.
Yeah.
So OnlyFans allows you to be able to put porn on there.
Yeah.
So in 2020, this blew up.
Yeah.
Wow. And so now that's why OnlyFans is just recognized as a platform for pornography.
Wow.
Yeah. And so that's just the traditional.
So good to know.
Yeah. I think that's so interesting. A lot of people just
back around.
What it was. And now this is kind of the monster that it's turned into.
Yeah.
And so OnlyFans is basically a pornography platform where you can share it. And the allure of OnlyFans is the fact that in traditional porn, You'll kind of just watch a video where this is a one-on-one connection with the girl. So you can actually subscribe to her page and have conversations with her. So that's what OnlyFans is.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you for the education.
You're welcome.
All right. So you go to Europe. You're in Mykonos. You're helping your friend. Where to from there?
So, yeah, basically I'd arrived back. I didn't want to work in this hospitality startup world anymore. And so my very close personal friend was like, hey, we're just starting this agency. Like, I'm talking infancy phase. Like, they just registered the business. But they're like, we would love for you to be a part of it. Can you help us? And then when we can financially afford it, we'll bring you on. So I was like, yeah, sick, let's do it. So it was kind of like an informal consultancy role for about 5-6 months.
It's a startup.
Exactly. And so again, close personal friends, so you're having fun with it.
Yeah.
And then basically in April of 2022 is when I was officially a contractor for the agency, and my role was marketing.
Yeah.
So my role was basically to, the way that I like to break it down for people who, again, aren't familiar necessarily with what an OnlyFans agency is.
Yes, is this be helpful?
Yeah. Three aspects to an agency. Mm-hmm. So number one is OnlyFans management.
Yes.
So the whole point of an agency is when you have a girl that maybe has about 10,000 subscribers, let's just say, she can't physically facilitate talking to all those people at once. Wow. So she has to offset all that work to someone else, and on their behalf, they will manage the account for her.
Wow.
So basically you're impersonating someone. Yeah, that's the whole point. And then so a really big stigma that people think is that it's the girl that's talking to them.
Right.
It's actually not. We would hire third world country people, so from the Philippines, and you pay them about $2 to $5 USD an hour, and they work anywhere from 6 to 7 days a week, 12 to 14 hour shifts, impersonating girls as a sales job.
Oh my gosh.
So that's, aspect number one of OnlyFans agencies. Aspect number two is where I came in, and that's marketing. Mm-hmm. So again, it's a business. So you need to be having an influx of people coming in, subscribers. Mm-hmm. So how do you promote that? Social media. So my role was basically to make girls as viral as possible.
Wow.
And so we're basically manipulating the algorithms for our benefit.
Yeah.
So then these girls can go viral, and you have a very specific funneling system that you would use to take them from the TikToks, the Instagrams, the Reddits, the Twitters, whatever platform you would use, and funnel them to OnlyFans.
Yeah. Wow.
And then aspect number three is recruitment. So recruitment is basically you scour the internet. You have very specific requirements, the agency I worked at anyways, of what type of girl you want, and you'll cold message them and you'll basically be like, hey, we love your vibe. Have you ever considered either doing OnlyFans and we'll bring them onto the platform, or have you considered representation and we would try and get them to come to our agency? So it just kind of depended. So that's kind of like in a nutshell,
so Victoria. So
what an agency is.
I think people really know how all of that
looks
like the back end.
Not many people know that agencies exist or even all of that. And that's why it's just a monster in and of itself, because you don't understand how you're being so softly manipulated through social media. Like one of the girls we had her at zero TikTok followers, no nothing, brand new fresh account. In 7 days, we got her to 3.2 million views. So this is the caliber of what you're dealing with. And so when you think about the psychology behind that, young girls are seeing this and they're going, this girl's getting rewarded because you have very specific curated content that you're doing. So we actually hired a third person party that would study trends. And so this person every single day would send us, these girls need to recreate these videos. They need these sounds. They need to do this. They need to do that. And so that's how we would get these girls so viral so quickly.
Wow.
And so you're seeing this. And even if, you know, your algorithm might, you know, hypothetically be a bit more of a Christian one, like if people are going mass viral, you're going to see this.
It's true. It's totally true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so then young girls are going, well, these women get rewarded.
Yes.
Therefore, I want to do this. And then people, males are going, oh, this is a desirable woman. Yeah. I want to see more of what she's doing. And this is how a woman should be.
Yeah.
And that's the whole point of why you do it. So then we can pull people in again to get them to OnlyFans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to go there. We are going to go there. We are.
Side tangent.
Yes. And I think it's good to get background. As you share, as Vic shares the testimony, I think it's helpful to even, you need to understand all
the context of it all. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Whew. Okay. So let's jump back in at agency. You're starting this up with your friend. It's in its infancy phase. Then what?
So then basically I started doing all the marketing.
Yeah.
So I'm seeing all the Instagram content.
Okay.
I guess that's what we would call it in quotation marks. So I'm onboarding all the girls for their marketing requirements, which were things like you need to have 3 to 5 TikTok accounts every single day. You need to post 5 videos individually.
I feel like overwhelmed with one Instagram account.
So you can imagine how saturated again it is because, and it's not 5 videos that are the same across those five accounts.
Yeah.
It's five brand new videos per account. So that can be 20 individual, unique, created videos every single day.
Yeah.
And so that was my role and responsibility to get these girls hyped up, to make sure they're doing that and make sure that we're building their social media presence. But what we noticed as kind of time went on working at the agency, and then just like preface this as well, I've never been exposed to porn. So I've never actually even really watched pornography. Like my exposure, okay, I don't know if I can say this on like a Christian podcast, but like Two Girls, One Cup. And that's the only like pornography I've ever seen, which is not porn, if you know what that is.
Yeah. Wow.
And so my understanding of what OnlyFans was really limited.
Yes.
Because I'm like, well, I hear you can sell your feet on there. I hear that like it's a positive. Isn't it like empowering? Like there was people that I knew in my world that were really poor. Now they're really rich.
Yeah.
Therefore, this has to be a good thing.
Yeah.
Yes. And I think a lot of people have that understanding. So
it's
just
empowering.
Yeah.
You know, it's safe for women. It's safer than
it's ethical porn. Like all these weird things. Yeah. And then content creator is such a fluff term. Like, what does that even mean? So you just don't know. There's these fluffy terms. That make you go, oh, I don't actually understand what this is.
Yeah.
So basically, that was what my
role was.
Mentality was.
Yeah, okay.
Is, oh, I just see Instagram content. Like, there's nothing really too hectic
Got
here.
Got it.
And so that's kind of what I was doing for the first half of it,
Okay.
Yeah.
So how does Jesus enter the picture?
So basically.
So crazy. I love it.
So where things get wild is basically we realized that if I'm over here doing all the social media and there's a manager that's managing the OnlyFans, because again, that's one of the pillars of the business is the OnlyFans management. We're impersonating a person. So if I'm here doing social media and someone's here doing all the OnlyFans, there's a disconnect.
Right.
Because I don't know what's happening on OnlyFans. They don't know what's happening on social media. Right, okay. So then the subscribers might be talking to you on OnlyFans and talking to you on social media, but they're not connecting.
Got it. Yep.
So we're like, okay, we need to change the structure of how we run things. Instead of me doing all the social media and this other person doing all the OnlyFans, we'll split the girls in half and you do the full life cycle.
Okay.
So that's when I started to see everything.
Wow.
That's when I see the back end, the porn.
Wow.
I understand now.
Wow.
Like what it is.
How did you feel about that?
It was full on. It was, I think as well, it's a weird thing because these women you see as a money making product. They're a commodity. But then at the same time, because I was making relationships with these girls before watching their porn, I had this thing of like, I know you, like, this is weird. Like, you're such a sweet girl and I'm watching you do like some really vile things. Yeah. And again, never being exposed to porn, it was a real slap in the face to me.
Mate, that would have been like
hectic. Yeah, absolutely. And like, there's a variance of like how hectic it can get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So now you have like half managing the full cycle.
Yep. So that's basically where like it all stems in together. So I'm really struggling now, and I can't open up my laptop. I can't look at all the content, everything like that. And so I started seeking answers because I'm like, I don't feel right.
Wow.
And so I started asking people at the agency. And I was like, what do you think about what we're doing?
Yeah.
And people are like, it's like a safe injecting heroin room. People need a safe place to do drugs.
A lot of things like that.
Yeah. And so therefore we give them a safe place to do porn.
Yes.
And then there was just other things and it just wasn't sitting right with me.
Wow.
And so I was like, this is where God is so flipping cool. In my selfishness, I wasn't looking for Jesus.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
I wasn't looking for him.
Yeah.
This is why I was just like, I want to offset all the bad I'm doing with something good.
Yeah.
Wow. And I just had this random memory. And I was like, oh, that church I went to as a child have this thing called like World Impact. And I was like, you can go help refugees. Amazing. I'm going to go to Greece and I'm going to help refugees. And I'm going to offset all the bad I'm doing. And we were building a cannabis company as well at the time. So I was like, by the time I come back from helping all my refugees in Greece,
I'll be ready to start the cannabis company.
Yeah. And guess what? Happy days. And so I sent an email to the World Impact.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is where like the cool things start to be cool things. But basically, that email never went to the World Impact.
Wow.
It actually went to the young adults pastor, Raquel.
Wow.
And the email said, Victoria wants to reach out to the church. Can you call her? And it had my phone number.
Get out.
And so it's just like,
come on, Jesus.
I remember Raquel months and months later sent me that email. And I was just like, this is insane.
Wow.
And so I get this call from a lady one day and she's like, hey, do you want to come down to church? And I was like, yeah, sure. It was a Thursday. And I rock up to church that evening and I'm sitting in the car at the front. I was like, I can't walk in there. I'm like, I'm such a bad person. I will literally burst into flames if I walk into there. I can't do it. And I just wrestle with myself. I get in there. I word vomit to this poor girl. Everything. We don't talk about refugees like at all. And I just tell her everything. And she goes, I really think that you should come to church this Sunday. I think the speaker will really resonate with you.
Okay.
And so I rock up to church on a Sunday and this lady in church is talking about over-sexualization. She's talking about how Christians have failed and they're supposed to be the salt and the light of the earth and we're destroying the next generation. And there's things like OnlyFans and this hyper-sexualization. No. And like basically being like, we need to protect, like we need to stand up as a church and protect our youth. And I'm sitting there like, I work at an OnlyFans agency. And I just was like getting wrecked. I felt, anyway, so basically she'd finished speaking. I'm up in the balcony.
Yeah.
At the back.
Yeah.
And I run down to her after she finished speaking. And I went up to this lady and I was like, hi, my name is Victoria. I work for an OnlyFans agency and I hate myself. And she goes, let's have lunch.
Thank you.
And that was truly, she just sat with me and answered my questions. She didn't put me down. She didn't make me feel stupid. I said, isn't it like a safe injecting heroin? I didn't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, it's such a genuinely good question. Those questions are genuinely good questions.
Yeah. And so many people don't know.
Yep.
But when you tell people that they're dumb, when you ridicule people, when you put them down, anything's going to happen.
Uh-huh.
That was the transformative thing, like upon reflection for me. Someone sitting with me and not putting me down, but just answering my questions.
Yeah.
And that was on a Sunday. And by that Friday, I was so convicted. I quit the agency. I walked away from everything. It took 5 days for me to totally leave that life behind. And then, yeah, that's where the journey began.
Gosh. Okay. So many incredible things about that. First of all, I think just like you can see the sovereign hand of God on your life. And I'm the bit the same. Like I look back and I just think, how did that not happen? How did that not happen? Like, how did God, like, there's so many things in my life before I knew Jesus. Mm. I look back and see him actively at work in my life before I even knew him. Yeah. Like, things are like, that should have gone a different way and it didn't. Like, I don't know how I didn't end up like at this party where everyone overdosed. Like, there's so many things like that and just saved by his sovereign hand. And I fully hear that, like, in that email, that's a miracle, like, story of how that happened. You can just see. I think it's encouraging as well for people, like, when we are sharing about Jesus to know, like, you're not, like, their salvation is not, like, landing on you. Like, it's not us, it's the Holy Spirit that's already at work, like, in someone's life. And you can hear that in your story, and it's true of mine as well, the exact same thing of like, God is already at work in our lives before even any people come sometimes, like, and share about him.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I even at the start of every year I write this thing, the person I would want me to be will be.
Wow.
And I looked at my one for January 2023.
Yeah,
make this make sense. It was, I want to be sober, I don't want to drink and smoke anymore. And at the end of it, it said, I want to read my Bible for 10 minutes a day. I didn't even own a Bible.
Whoa.
I don't even own a Bible. And I have that from January 1st, 2023. Then April that year is my birthday. I'd started at the OnlyFans agency and my parents, my only birthday present that year was a Bible.
Oh, get out. So your family are believers? Your parents are believers?
Like, they have like a foundation of faith, I would say. But yeah, again, that's divine intervention because that's not normal in my family.
Wow.
I didn't ask for a Bible. I didn't anything. I was started working at an OnlyFans agency. And so when you look back, that's exactly what it is. Like, Jesus doesn't save you in your perfection.
Yes.
You know? Yes. That's why I love to emphasize that. It was in my selfishness.
Yeah.
I wasn't looking for Jesus. I was looking to offset the bad I was doing. But he was like, you're worthy enough for me to pluck you out of what you're doing and let's put you on the right path.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not. Yeah, I think some people feel like they need to, I'll get my life together and then I'll come to Jesus or I'll come to church. So I'll get my life together and I'll come to church to meet Jesus or whatever. And it just isn't like that. It's like saying, I'm going to get clean before I have a shower.
Yeah.
That's how I like, it's like, that's the whole point of the shower. Like, it's the whole point of Jesus is that he helps us. Like, he wants to meet us where we're at in whatever state that is.
Yeah.
And I love that you say like, he'll take any open door, like any little, even just like a small like crack in like a door. Because I think for me, like, I was my story is like I had everything that this life tells you is like successful and like brings satisfaction, like really successful career, kind of living this corporate high flying life. I've shared a bit of my testimony with you, and it was like, you know, flying all over Europe, doing whatever I wanted, that money wasn't and no issue. And I was just so unsatisfied.
Mm.
And I was like, why, when I've done everything that this world says should make me feel like satisfied, am I not satisfied? And that one question was what the Holy Spirit started to work on in my heart.
Yeah.
So it's like, he doesn't need this whole big, like, you know, moment or thing. It's just like one little.
Truly. Yeah. It was just me going, I want to sign up for a refugee program. And Jesus is like, that's all I need. Let's go. And
Isn't it crazy?
He just ran the play.
And even like something in you, which I think is really interesting, is like something in you is like, okay, there's something. I feel like we have inherently within us, and you can see sometimes also in children, it's like we are created in God's image. Mm. There is inherently within side of us, even before we know Jesus in the way that we're talking about. But there is something in us that we are made to know our Creator. There is something of a seed of the kingdom inside of us that even makes us feel like, okay, I'm doing this. I need to offset this with some good. Like, we have an inherent understanding of good and evil.
Yeah.
Even without necessarily, like, even kids, it's like, okay, not many children will, like, want to make another child. They want to make them happy. Like, you'll see kids, like, naturally comfort each other.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
there's something inside of us that God has wired humanity to know, like, even beyond when we come to know Jesus, as we're talking about. That's, I think that's encouraging too, to know that, like, with inside everybody, no matter where their heart looks or what, where their heart is or what their life looks like, that there is inside of them this kingdom blueprint of a kind.
Yeah.
That is just waiting for, I guess, like, waiting for the Holy Spirit's already at work, but like, yeah, waiting to find that missing piece, which is him.
Yeah, truly.
Wow. All right, so in 5 days, your life turns around.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And where to from there? Like, what happened in those 5 days? How did you, tell me a bit more about, like, how you even knew Jesus?
It's really wild. Honestly, the only way I can explain it is actually, it's just a gift. It really, really is, because I didn't have any literacy. I didn't understand anything. I just, on that Sunday, knew that what I was doing was wrong. On that Monday, I messaged the owner of the agency, and I was like, I'm feeling weird. Like, I couldn't not message. I can't explain it more than that.
Yeah.
And then what had happened was that following weekend was the launch in Melbourne of the agency. So we had one in Queensland, and then we had one in Melbourne. And again, drugs, all the things, like, you can just imagine. And that Friday came around, and the owner of the agency messaged me going, how are you feeling, RE morality? And I was like, I just don't think I can do it. Wow. And that in itself as well was such a gift, because then I wasn't at the launch party. I wasn't at the, and like, they went on 3-day benders, like all this type. Yeah. So that was really beautiful. But then after that, just something I really want to preface as well for a lot of people is, it wasn't like, yes, my transformation, I guess you could say, has been expedited.
Yeah.
8 weeks later, I was sober and I was baptized. But
wow,
in between that, I still had a binge 3 times of drugs and alcohol. Yeah. But it took those 3 times to surrender. It took those 3 times. Like, and I just want to preface that it's not this squeaky clean process that you come to Jesus. And so if those things happen, like, it is okay. That happened to me. And it was through that I was like, this is actually bigger than me. I actually can't control this. And then now my sobriety is supernatural.
Yeah.
That's the only way I can explain it. It is truly supernatural.
Wow.
I
think that's so important, because I do think sometimes, like, I mean, one of the biggest things, I think, even in a process of, like, consecration of our lives, that the enemy tries to bring against us in those times is, like, is shame.
Mm.
And it is a process. Like, even in my own life, it took, like, I would say maybe 8 to 12 months to, I would say, change a lot of my lifestyle habits that were not biblical, change friendship groups that were not helpful to living a consecrated life for the Lord.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like I met Jesus and then it was like, now my life's back, you know, rainbows and whatever. But it was like, okay, now I have Jesus who is like walking with me through that process. And there was definitely times where it was like, oh gosh, yeah, stuffed up there. Like, oh, I was going to have one wine and I find myself seven wines in and like, oh yeah, okay, this is not honoring to the Lord. Like, huh, okay, totally. So it's a process of consecration.
Yeah.
I do think that's really important because I think sometimes, we think Jesus is like some genie, like, and I think sometimes even is presented like that in church, like, come to Jesus, he'll make your life perfect. It's like, that's actually not the Bible. Like,
you
read the New Testament, like, their lives were not perfect. Or we feel like we need to be something to begin a relationship with him, none of which is true. So that's a really important point. And also when we're discipling people, when we're sharing Jesus with people, to not have expectations like that either.
Yeah.
And to put shame on them. I think I was just talking to someone like a week or so ago, and they were like, I was like, how are you going with this person? And they'd recently just met Jesus, which is it's such a beautiful testimony. But they were like, oh, like, they're doing great. They were like, yeah, they had something happened the other night, and I can't remember whether it was alcohol or drugs, one or the other. Anyway, they had like something that they went back into, and they were like, but then we met on Monday, we had a chat, and like, they realized like what had triggered them and blah, blah, blah. And like, they're back in counseling and all this stuff. And I was like, great.
Amazing.
Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
truly. Yeah.
It's really, I think it's a really important point. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Girl. Okay. So talk to me a bit then about, like, you are so passionate about sharing Jesus with people. Like, you really are. And it's like, it's beautiful. You're like, there's truth out here. Like, you need to taste of it. Like, that's when I hear you talk, that's what I hear. So share with me a little bit about how, from like the first like 8 weeks, you get baptized.
Yeah.
And like, how did this, what happened in your heart for that cry to come out?
I just couldn't, like, OnlyFans is like the tip of the iceberg of things that happened in my life.
Yes.
It was just like from, 14, the suicide, the addictions, the everything, like the darkness, the anxieties, the disassociation, like, and so much, just horrific things have happened. And Jesus just like one by one was just,
wow,
just everything was just going and everything was just freed. And like, I never thought that would happen to me. I always thought I would always be here. Everyone would always be there and I would never be there. I would always be here. And hopelessness. And I'm just like, this is it. This is as good as it gets for me. Unless I make it in business, unless I make money, I can't have a fulfilled life. And Jesus just shattered every single one of those limiting beliefs, all those limiting factors, every single thing that I needed healing from, tailor-made for me. He just did that. I didn't ask him. He just did it. And I was just like, this is, I've mentioned it before, I think, but I'm like, it's like seeing the world in color for the first time. And you just understand, like, there's this thing called Plato's allegory, and like, people are in a cave, and then like, this guy is like, hey, do you know there's trees and there's light up here? Like, come. And I was like, everyone in that cave deserves this. Like, I sit and I ponder, like, what is my why when I share Jesus? And my why is because everyone deserves this. What is this? To know that God so loved the world that he gave his only son for you. Yes. Like, not for everyone, for you.
Yeah.
And so I just can't not tell people that, because I was so broken. I was so dead that I'm like, guys, you're all exceptional. Every single person is so unfathomably just incredible in a way that you can't even understand. Like, there is no limit to your capacity. And it's through Jesus. And I care so deeply about championing that in people.
Yeah.
Because my whole life, I've just grown up with brokenness after brokenness after brokenness in me and around my world. And no one deserves that.
Right.
And so for me, I can't not talk about it.
Yeah.
So I'm on TikTok, I'm on Instagram, I'm like chat. Like, I don't, whatever capacity that I can share, I just want to share.
You love people so well, and you are a huge championer of people.
Thank you.
A huge championer of people. It's like, you have this mother heart to nurture and to like champion and encourage. And it's so beautiful. I love that you have used the area, like that area that you were working in previously with like social media and all this stuff. And now you are using it like for the gospel.
Yeah, it's so fun.
It's so good. Because I think sometimes people are like, oh, okay, where do I start? What do I do? And I think the answer is like just what you've said, like, you start exactly where you are, exactly in what you're doing. Like, that was an area that you have a lot of skill in also. Like, you're amazing at it. The things you talk about, I'm like, what does that word even mean? Say what? But you just use the things that, the tools that you already had, the things that you already knew to share about him.
Yeah. Yeah. And like a thing that I encourage people as well is that, so I didn't have like a TikTok account or anything. Again, it's always been in business that I built people's social medias, but I just felt compelled to do my own TikTok and talk about this. And something that like I now preface my mindset in, if I am feeling silly, if I am feeling embarrassed, or even now when I do get those promptings to go up to people in the street or whatever, I go, I don't have the right to, God is bigger. If he doesn't use me, he'll use someone else. Like, it's not about that. But I don't have the right to deny someone the opportunity to hear that, because that could change their life. The same way that for me, my life has been changed through people feeding into me, encouraging me, prompting me, whatever.
Yeah.
Having that stranger go up to you and just be like, hey, this might sound really weird, but I just want to let you know that like God loves you. You have no idea. And so I never want to deny that luxury from someone. And so that's what I think when I think about my social media. I don't want to deny that, because I've heard people that have scrolled on TikTok and they've seen a video and that's what got them back into church and now they're saved. And so it doesn't matter what way we do it.
Yep.
But I care so much about that. No matter what platform you're on, just do it. Just go hard, because we don't have the right to deny someone the luxury of having an interaction with God in whatever capacity that is.
And for some people, it might be like social media. If you're a mum and you're taking your kids to playgroup or you're taking them to school, like, have the conversation with the other people. Like, conversation with the other mums. We live in the thing is, we live in a broken world, right? We live in a broken world where people are lonely, people are anxious, people are like, there's so much need. And whatever your platform, you know, whatever that is, your friendship group, like your gym, your, I don't know, whatever it looks like to just start there. And I love that you say, it's like, who am I to deny someone like an encounter with the Lord? I think that's really big. I remember once, because this is like, so just FYI, guys, the area of evangelism, I would say I am very passionate about, but at the same time, it's not my natural wiring. Like, I have pretty much a billion like evangelistically gifted friends, but it's something that I always have to keep stirred inside of me. I would say like, so I often have to just like take step out. It doesn't feel like natural or normal, but I can feel the Lord like bringing boldness into my heart of like, okay, I'm going to do this like for him, like for exactly the thing. I'm like, who am I if whatever. I remember once I was in South Yarra and quite like a bougie kind of restaurant, and we were actually having dinner with a group of pastors, and it was kind of weird. I just became like fixated on this girl who was working on her laptop and having a wine, and I was like, oh man, like I need to talk to her. Like, I didn't even know like what I needed to necessarily like say.
Yeah.
It's just like, I know God wants to talk to this girl. And normally I'm like, God, give me an in, like tell me, like show me a prophetic me word a or a word of knowledge or like something.
And
he was like, nah. He's like, I'm not, like, you're going to have to trust me more than that. And I was like, oh gosh, yes, okay, Lord. And I just literally took, I think about it now, I'm like, it sounds like it would have been so weird, but I just took like the glass of wine that I had and went over to the table and was like, hey, like, I was just watching you like work. My name's Erin, and like just introduced myself. And I was like, are you working? Like just asking questions or whatever. Anyway, we had a bit of a chat, and I'm like, look, this may sound really weird, but like, I don't, like, do you know Jesus? Like, have you ever heard the gospel? Like, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, and it was a real stretch for me, but she says to me, I can just feel a lot of that. She's like, it's really crazy you say that. She's like, this is the third time this week
so cool.
Someone has come up and asked me, like, if I know Jesus. And like, and I was blown away. You know, I was like, oh my gosh, wow. Like, and she's like, you know, I used to go to church like 7 years ago. She's like, I just haven't been back for ages. And she's like, that's really weird. Like, that's really weird. And I was just like, I think God maybe like wants to say something to you. Like, I think he just wants to let you know, first of all, that he loves you, that he has not forgotten about you, like that you are very seen by him. And can I just encourage you to like pray, like just pray and just maybe ask him, like, why are you sending all these people? Like, what is it you want to tell me so that she could have that personal encounter with him? But yeah, I think sometimes it's like, in that moment, I'm like, but what if, you know, you always kind of feel like, I don't know, I do at least, of like, is this me? Especially like one-on-one, I'm like, oh gosh, is this me? Like, is this even me? Is it, am I just thinking something? But it's that thought of like, but what if it is God? Like, what if it is. I'm like, what if it is him? And what if I don't? And then, as you said, God's bigger and he'll find someone else. But like, what if he wants to, what if it really is?
There was this lady who, this really stuck with me, and she was sharing at church about that. And she was at a concert, and there was a gentleman next to her, and she got a prompting from God to just say something about his wife, that like, your wife will come back, or it was something.
Wow.
And she didn't do it. And it was annoying her the whole entire concert. And then she walked out and he was there, and she was like, I didn't do it. I didn't have the guts to do it. Mm-hmm. And this was like 30 years ago, and it still haunts me to this day. Wow. Because I would prefer to be seen like a fool.
Yeah.
Instead of disobedient. Yes. Yeah. And I'm just like, what is the worst thing that can happen?
Totally, if you
go up to someone and just say, if you thought maybe like, hey, do you have like a knee problem? And they're like, nah. It's like, oh no, that's okay. Sorry, I just believe in Jesus, you know, and I just thought about that. Anyways, he loves you. Have a good day. You're depositing something into them. Like, who cares?
Yeah.
And like, I think as well, some people do make it. I've had some conversations with some young girls, university students.
Yeah.
And they're like, I struggled with this. I was like, just be genuine. Don't have an agenda. Like, you don't have to go up to someone and be like, do you know Jesus? Do you know the gospel? Bro, they honestly, like, as mean as this might, I don't mean it in that way. People don't care that Jesus died on a cross for us because they don't understand it. They don't get it. They don't get that Jesus loves them. It means it's null and void words to them. Okay. So if you can go up to someone and you're just having, how was your weekend?
Yeah.
Cool. That's awesome. I actually went to church. Yeah, I like to, like, whatever it is, start a conversation. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't always have to go up to people and just, like, Christianese them and this and that. For some people, absolutely. But I think that there's so much emphasis placed on, like, going up and spreading it and praying for people. The amount of times I get prompted to go up to people.
Yeah.
And literally just be like, hey, just to let you know, this might sound really weird.
Yep.
I either just say, like, I believe in God or I follow Jesus. And he just wants you to know that you're exceptional.
Yeah.
Have a great day.
Yes.
And that's it.
Yes.
Like, and it can literally be as simple as that.
Yep.
Like, you don't always have to pray for people, prophesy, heal people. Like, it can be as small and as simple as of an encounter as that. Like, we don't need to make it like this big, scary thing, I think. Yeah.
Pastor Ree talks about this thing called the Engel scale, which... Mm. Give it a like, it's literally a scale where it's like from zero, never heard the word Jesus in your entire life, to in full relationship with him. It's like a scale. And something really set me free in sharing was that she was like, every time the name of Jesus is just mentioned, it moves someone on that scale somewhere.
Yeah.
Like, if they've never heard Jesus, when you're like, hey, Jesus loves you, like, huh, Jesus. Oh, never thought about that before. Like, it moves them one little tick on that scale towards a knowledge of God and a relationship with God. So it's totally true. Like, and sometimes, you know what's really crazy? Even I get a lot of people, like, you say something like, hey, I just want to let you know, like, Jesus really loves you. And they're like, are you a Christian? Like, their concept of Christian and me is like two separate, you know? I don't know Christians that are like you. Like, even that for them is like got them thinking of like, oh, maybe what I thought I knew about Christianity isn't actually right. Like, this is different. Like, yeah. So it is. It's like it. Yeah. I was in the Macca's drive through and I was like, thank you. And I was like, I just want to let you know Jesus really loves you. And they're like,
thanks.
It doesn't have to be like,
this whole
just
big
something.
You
know, they're like, the blood of the lamb washes you today. Like, it's like, it's true.
Yeah.
And I think the more you're in, like, the more that you're in Christian circles, the more we have to be really aware of that, of using Christianese, of using terminology that makes no sense, but placing value and honor and kindness and sacrificing things and serving people.
Yeah.
All of this is like the gospel and is something that is so opposite to our world.
Yeah.
Like, the person who's like seeing the old lady struggle with something and like actually goes and does something about it, it's like, well, 20 other people watch on. It's like, okay, there's like that's part of God's love for them that is being seen in what's happening, that is probably in a moment much more effective in some ways than being like, hey, I just want to tell you about like the crucifixion of Jesus, like this action of love. And then you're dead on when you talk about sometimes it being, you know, we've got to communicate appropriately with people.
Yeah.
Like, and placing value, like you're saying, of just like, I just want to let you know, like, Jesus thinks you're amazing just as you are.
Yeah.
He loves you just as you are.
Yeah. Like, we're all just people at the end of the day. Like, we don't have to, like, I think again, like, as well, people go, oh, they're sinning, they're there. Like, we've got to say, no, we're all just people. Yeah. We're all just figuring it out. Like, and if we can just keep that heart posture of just, like, I don't know, like, love on people. Make their day, compliment them, like, and that's how you can show it in a way that's not necessarily as well, like, this scary, like, evangelism thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the heart of the prophetic as well is to call out gold in the dust. Mm. So when you're talking to somebody and maybe there's like 10 things that are a struggle in their life, but there's one thing that you're like, this is reflective of the Lord, like, to be calling that out, like, hey, you always make people feel really seen, like, or whatever the case may be.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you're calling out those God qualities that are already in them.
Yeah.
Vic, we could talk for
literally, I know.
We could talk for hours, but I just thank you for your time, because I know that in all that you've shared, both your personal testimony but also like how you share, it just makes it seem so simple, which it is. Like, I think sometimes we make it so complicated, but just to use the things that you have, you know, don't make it complicated. Just love people. You are a great lover of people.
You
really are. Like, you genuinely care. Like, all of these said, you 100% live. Like, you really do. You can't have a conversation with you and not feel very seen and loved. Like,
thank you.
Even when we first met and you were sharing your story, I'm like, I was sharing a bit of my session. You're like, wow. Like, you felt, you show that part of the nature and character of Christ so well.
Oh, that's really sweet. Mm-hmm. Thanks.
So we're grateful for you. Would you be able to wrap up just by praying, I guess, for like our listeners?
Yeah.
I think just praying for them of like just whatever form they have to just be able to share him.
Yeah.
Have the boldness that you have. You have a beautiful boldness. You have a really soft but beautiful strong boldness.
Yeah. Thank you. No, I just, I do, Father, right now, I pray for every single person that's hearing this podcast, that's listening to it, that this just deposits something into them that just changes the way that they view how to share you, Jesus, in whatever format that they do it, in whatever arena that they're in, that they are able to have a boldness, and not a boldness in, you know, having to be wild and crazy, whatever's tailor-made for them,
yes,
Father God, in the way that they feel confident to share you, Jesus. And that they just delight in it, that they have joy and they have so much fun in actually just being able to share how good you are. And that you're just so gentle, Holy Spirit, in helping to equip and train everyone who loves you to do that. And I just pray that we see such a move of boldness in every single person that loves you, Lord, that we see people just at the shops, laying hands on people, encouraging people. That's what we want to see, Lord God. That's how we're going to see a movement of you, Jesus, in such a radical way. So I pray that every single person that hears this podcast, that they're just inspired, that they feel such a fire in their belly, and that they're like, you know what, let's go out and let's just proclaim how good our God is, how much we love people and how much he loves us. So, and I just pray for the adventures that this takes them on. That it's just a wild, unfathomable Jesus journey. And that it's just, again, this tailor-made adventure, because living life with you, Jesus, is fun. It's not scary. It's not this big task. It's not all these complicated things. It's simple and it's joyful and it's such a delight. And so I pray that everyone that's listening to this is just reminded of that and reminded of how much fun you are.
Yeah, come on.
And so we just bless this podcast. We bless Aaron. We bless, honestly, every single person that is trying to make this happen, to be able to encourage people, to be able to proclaim how good you are, Lord God. Thank you for this opportunity. And thank you for everyone that's listening, because clearly that they're wanting to take the steps to learn more. So thank you for the listener on the other side of this, Jesus. In your name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, friend.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming. It's been just as fun as I knew it would be.
Yeah, it's been so good. Oh, you're just amazing. Oh,
thanks. We love you.
Thanks, guys.
All right. So, guys, we know there's going to be a lot of testimonies that come out of this, of just you sharing as you're equipped. And we want to hear them. We want to hear what that's looked like in your life. We want to hear your bold steps. And so we are gathering testimonies. You can DM us on Instagram. You can send us a testimony at pneuma.church/pray. Why don't you share your testimonies in your life group with friends? We know that as we just share, even sharing testimonies now, I feel like something is stirred inside of me. So We want to do that. And why not challenge all of us who are listening today to share Jesus with someone if you haven't already? Maybe you're in the gym. Maybe you're about to get your coffee. Maybe you're on your walk. I want to challenge you to share Jesus with someone today. All right, guys, that is it for this episode. And we will catch you very soon for another one. Bye. Thank you.